This particular meeting, remembrance of the Lord, or breaking of bread, or communion, or the Lord's Supper, I don't know what name you're familiar with, but we like the idea of remembrance of the Lord Jesus. Now, I shouldn't do this, but I am assuming that all of you here this morning know the Lord. How can you remember somebody you don't know? And so with that in mind, let me remind you that you came to Jesus with nothing, a broken heart, an empty heart. And you found in him everything that you needed for life on earth and for life everlasting, eternal life. It would be foolish for me to think that I could list all of the things that you have received from the Lord when you trusted him as your Savior and Lord. I couldn't possibly. But just let me remind you that you were placed into the family of God by grace. God designed that. You became part of the body of Christ. And likewise, you were given a spiritual gift, at least one. Probably many of you have multiple gifts, which are all listed in the scriptures. You have also, from conception, according to Psalm 139, God wrote a book, and he wrote everything in the book that he wanted you to be. Oh, you weren't anything at that moment of conception, but it was going to all be planned out for you. Your personality, your characteristics, things that you maybe take for granted or thought, well, that's just the way it was. Well, it is the way it was, but it was God's plan. You are who God wants you to be. I am absolutely appalled to think that some people say, I'm not satisfied with the way God made me, and I want to change that. The greatest sorrow you could ever have would be to go through your whole life and not know God's plan. But among spiritual gifts and personalities and characteristics and all of the things that make you who you are God-given. And above and beyond all that, you were created in the image of God. And it is his plan for you, dear believer, to be conformed to the image of his son. Now I'm going to a strange text this morning, with that introduction at least. Exodus chapter 4, please. Exodus chapter 4. The context is that Moses is being sent back to Egypt. And as the Lord sends him back, Moses has reservations about, I don't know how this is going to work very well. I'm going to get back there and they're going to say, well, who do you think you are? And who is this God that you said sent you? And so Moses and the Lord has a bit of a conversation. And the Lord will make no mistakes about authenticating who he is and who Moses is as his servant. But there are some things that we have to get out of the way, God said. There's some things we've got to understand one another about. And let me read then in Exodus chapter 4. Then Moses answered and said, but suppose, speaking to the Lord, suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. I may remind you, God's already told him what his name is. That is, what God's name is. Look at verse 14 of chapter 3. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Isn't that interesting? Not I was. Not I'm going to be. I am the eternal, self-existing God. So Moses says, in verse 1, suppose they won't believe me. Verse 2, so the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? He said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses was afraid. He fled from it. You can see him just stepping back, looking out of the corner of his eye at this serpent now on the ground. Verse 4, then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. Now, I don't want to overdo this, but if you know anything at all about snake handling, you don't pick up snakes by the tail. But God told him to do that. Reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And he did it. He reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. I'm just going to pause there for many reasons. One is time. God's going to authenticate the man to Israel. But first, God had to authenticate himself to Moses. It is one thing to say you believe in God. It is one thing to say you have trusted in Christ. I guess my question this morning is, do you really? Is there evidence? This is, in some ways, a strange story, I suppose. If they don't believe me, what if they don't believe me? How am I going to ever do this? God said, what do you got in your hand? I can imagine Moses sort of going, rod? A rod. Now, we don't have time, and neither could I do it all, but the rod in scriptures is very significant. It's very significant to Moses. Let me suggest for you that rod was going to be in the hand of Moses until he goes on the mountain and the Lord says, time is up, Moses. Time is up. That rod is going to remain for Moses and with Moses throughout his entire ministry. That rod was significant to Moses, I suppose, and maybe I could say in many ways in his life. He's just spent 40 years in Midian, in the desert, learning to do what? Be a shepherd. What's the importance of the rod for him? The psalmist David could say, thy rod and thy staff has comforted me. How would a rod be a comfort? Well, a rod would be a comfort as something he could lean on. A rod would be a defense, a offensive and defenses against wild animals or bandits. The rod also would be authority in the scriptures or government in the scriptures. I did a word search on this. It just goes off the chart when it comes to rods. But my point this morning is Moses had a rod. He had used that rod in various ways. He had become dependent on that rod. And the Lord says, I want you to cast that rod down. As long as Moses had that rod, as long as he was in control of that rod meant something to that man. When he cast it down, he didn't have it anymore. Out of his control now. When he cast it down, it became a serpent. What a strange thing to happen, really. If the rod was security, if the rod was government, if the rod was authority, if the rod was defense, all of these things are, why does this rod now become a serpent? Matter of fact, it was so obvious that it was a serpent and he was afraid of it, he jumped back. And in his fear and in his dismay, perhaps, the Lord said to him, pick it up by the tail. Well, what does the serpent mean in the scriptures? We don't have to think about that very long. The serpent is evil. The serpent represents the enemy. The devil took on the body of a serpent in the Garden of Eden. And that is wrong. That is sinful. That's a serpent. And now there is evil there. And God said to Moses, take it by the tail. Pick it up. I don't know about you, but I might think that Moses and the Lord, you know, they talk kind of frankly sometimes. I'm absolutely amazed at what God almost accuses, sorry, what Moses almost accuses God of. Well, why would you do that? That's not going to work. And he talks to him. I can almost, I will see it. Moses, God says, Moses, pick it up by the tail. Moses says, you pick it up by the tail. I'm not taking it up by the tail. But he does. What does that tell me? That tells me that in life, if you and I really believe God, when God asks us to do something, even though it's scary, even though I'm afraid, even though it doesn't make sense to me, even it doesn't matter, God told me to do it. That is faith, isn't it? Obedience. That is what Moses is doing, and Moses takes it by the tail and it turns back in to the rod. God took a stick. Weak, the stick, just a stick. Powerless, dead, dry stick. And use that in a mighty way simply because, are you listening to me? Moses yielded it to God. Had it remained in Moses' hand, God says, Moses, what do you got in your hand? I got a rod. I throw it down. No. No, this is my security. No, I can't throw this down. A wild animal might come. I need it. I can't throw this down. I use this in my job. I can't do without this. This is my rod, and I want to use it. He did not say that. Had it remained in Moses' hand, it would have held no power for God. This stick, just in Genesis It was used to confront the Egyptian soothsayers. 7 and 12. All of these references are in Genesis. It was used to turn the water of Egypt into blood. 7, 17 and 20. It was used in the plagues of frogs, lice, thunder, hail, locusts, and so on. That rod, he was instructed to take that rod and part the Red Sea. He was also instructed to take that same rod, that stick, but now in the hand of God, submitted to God. Moses is just the manager now, the steward now. Hold that stick out, and those waters came back together, and Pharaoh's entire army perished that day because of the power of God through that rod. In the wilderness wandering, we can never forget, take the rod and strike the rock. Water comes out. The victory against the Amalekites, and on, you could put more. Someone has written, God has an amazing arsenal of weapons. Listen to some of the weapons. Ram's horns, trumpets, pitchers, lanterns, rods, jawbones, musical instruments, handkerchiefs, slings, stones, hammers, nails, and etc., all in themselves quite inadequate by themselves. Yet, we see in Scripture that those insignificant, inadequate weapons topple walls, destroy armies, bring cities to ashes, terrify nations and kings and queens. Why? Because God is in it. What we have in our hand today, whatever you have in your hand today, is weak and frail and useless, and it can be destructive, can be deadly, used by you. But when we give it to God, when we yield it to Him, can bring deliverance and blessing and glory and encouragement. It depends on whose hand it is in. In our story, whose hand Moses yielded it to. A plain bar of iron is worth about $5. When made into a horseshoe, it maybe would be worth $50. When made into needles, like sewing needles, could be worth as much as $5,000. If that same bar of iron was made into springs for Swiss made watches, it might be worth $500,000. A basketball in the hands of Michael Jordan, whom some of you might know, is worth about $33 million. A baseball in the hand of Mark McGinnis is worth about $19 million. A tennis racket in Peter Sampras' hand is worth a Wilmington championship. A slingshot in David's hand, submitted to God, of course, topples a giant. Two fish and five loaves of bread in Jesus' hand fed 5,000. Nails in Jesus' hands produce salvation for a world. What's in your hand? What do you got? You say, oh, it's inadequate. It's not significant. I've got nothing. No, that's not true. You have a life. You have a gift. You have a personality. You have something that God can use. The problem is you won't give it to him. You won't release it. It will be a burden to you. It will be a ball and chain for you. It will be a hindrance to you. Give it up. Like Moses cast the stick away. Whatever that is, if you're not careful, it can dominate your life. It can control your life. I have no idea what you got, but God does and you do. This is an opportunity to you for you to be free from its pull and free from its influence. Throw it down. Let God have it. When you hold it, it is a liability. When you give it to God, it becomes a spiritual asset. Life is either about dead sticks or powerful saviors. Which is true in your life? Bring what you have and cast it down before the Lord today. Oh, what God can do with a dead stick. Oh, what he can do with what's in your hand. Let it go. Give it up. Praise God and enjoy the freedom of all that God has created you to be. Don't hold on to it. Let's pray. Father, we know in ourselves we're not capable of doing these things. Moses had to exercise faith. He had to believe that you were in control of that stick and that serpent and then that stick again. We look at our lives, Father, most of us have our hands completely full, not just one thing, multiple resources, multiple gifts, multiple blessings of various kinds, which are all a liability to us when we hold on to it. We must let it go. We must release it. We must throw it down. And by the grace of God, we must take it back and be a good steward of it. Not that it's ours. It never was. But now yielded to God, he can use it for time and for eternity. And so, Lord, have thy way with us, we pray. For Christ's sake. Amen.